Tommy DePaola is perhaps best known for his picture books about the grandma witch Strega Nona and her magic pasta pot. The inspiration for this character came to DePaola in an unusual place, a faculty meeting at Colby Sawyer College in New London, New Hampshire. Colby Sawyer is hosting a new exhibition called Tommy DePaola Then, looking at DePaola's art from the 1940s through the mid-1970s when he taught at the college. Next fall, Colby Sawyer will host a second exhibit called Now, which will feature his work from 1975 to the present. Joining me now to talk about Then is Tommy DePaola.
Thank you for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. That's the great thing.
I read an artist once told you that being an artist is more than what you do. It's the way you live your life.
Yes.
How is living your life different as an artist? Do you see things differently? Do you look at the world differently?
Since I took that advice when I was 20 years old, like, I forgot what the world was like before I took that advice. So, yeah, that was Ben Shawn, and I was working with him at Skowhegan Painting School, School of Painting and Sculpture, which is a summer art school that started back in the 50s, and it's still going. And Ben was extremely – well, people can look him up. He was a very important artist. And I think that what he was trying to tell me is that people who devote their lives to the arts have to live in a different way because we don't sort of get paid by the hour. So you have to figure out how you're going to make your life economically sound. And I did that by teaching. And there's only once that I made – money doing something that was non-art, which I'm very proud of. I dug a ditch for a week, and I was about 22 years old, and I ended up with my right hand covered with blisters, and I said, that's it. I'm never going to do that again.
Once is enough.
Once is enough. I think it's also – I read something once years ago in a reading of the early church fathers who would write these sermons that would be read – at big festivals. This would be the Catholic Church. There was a homily that was written at Christmas time, that Christmas was the feast for the artist because Christmas, the invisible, became visible. I read this back in when I was in my 20s, and I thought, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take something that's just in my head, something that's invisible, and make it tangible and visible on a piece of paper or a canvas or a wall or whatever. And once I started to embrace and do that in my life, then it became my way of living. You know, you see an empty piece of paper and it's got to be made better.
You've always been interested in drawing, and you would tell people as a young child that you were
from the time I can remember, yeah. I mean, I remember the moment when I was four when I told everybody in my family, when I grow up, I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to write stories and draw pictures for books. And I'm going to sing and tap dance on the stage.
All of which you've done.
All of which I've done and gotten paid for. That's the important part.
So clearly when you started training as an artist and going to art schools, the issue for you wasn't interest or in talent. What was it that teachers were able to give you that would help you learn to make the invisible visible?
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. I went to Meriden High School in Meriden, Connecticut, a small industrial city in central Connecticut. Class artists, of course. And I went off to Pratt Institute, and I was suddenly thrown into the midst of 500 other best artists from their high school. I realized that I was not very good. I didn't know anything except to do my bad drawings. I've got in this show at Colby Sawyer, I've got the first oil painting I did in high school. It's really awful. And
what is it?
It's of a woman. It's on canvas board. The oil paint looks like it was Crisco. I used a jacket of one of my mother's novels that she was reading. It was called Bride of Fortune. And it was the story of Jefferson Davis's wife. 1850s woman with a low-cut dress, and the anatomy is so awful. The face looks as though it's off the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine, and the reason I'm thrilled that it's in the show is because, you know, at Colby, I'm going to be meeting with the students and talking about the work. I'm going to be able to say, see how far I've come, I hope.
And you said that as part of your career, you were teaching, and part of that teaching was at Colby Sawyer.
That's right.
Yeah. And I've been told that in a meeting there,
You were
drawing.
Yes, I was.
A figure who later became one of your best loved characters, Strega Nona.
Yeah. I was hired to work in the theater department there at the college. And I had started doing children's books by that time. We were not allowed to take attendance there was no such thing as attendance taken in the classes. But faculty meeting, the administration took attendance at faculty meeting. So we had to go to these dreadful faculty meetings that were really so inconsequential. But I always sat in the back row with a big yellow fool's cap, a big legal pad, and I would doodle. I'd doodle, and of course they thought I was taking notes. You know, isn't he interested in what we're talking about? And I was doodling, and I was going to be doing some Commedia dell'arte, which is Renaissance theater, street theater, with some of my students because I was in the theater department. And I was doodling Punchinello, Punch, the big nose and the big chin. And I was doodling, and all of a sudden a little kerchief appeared on the head of Punch, and suddenly a little lady. And I said, oh, isn't she cute? And her name is Streganona. It just happened. I said, I'm going to put her up on the wall of my studio across my drawing board because, you know, who knows? Maybe she can become a character in one of my books. And 2 months later, my editor asked me to retell a folktale. And my favorite folktale as a child was the porridge pot story where the porridge pours all over the village. And I told her, and she said, oh, well, that's public domain. Maybe you could retell it. And I thought, porridge, nobody, 1975, nobody knows what porridge is or whatever. So maybe I'll change it to pasta. And the rest is history. There are now 12 Streganona books out there. And I tell young people, she built my swimming pool. I always worried that the board of trustees would come knocking on my door and say, we'd like 10% of since our faculty meeting was the inspiration.
The inspiration, exactly. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming.
It's
been
so
a pleasure.
Thanks so much for chatting with me. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Tommy DePaula then runs through December at Colby Sawyer College. You can find more information about the exhibition at nhpr.org.